Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting today for the 8th of December. Wow, this year has really flown by, and a lot of people are saying good riddance to 2020 with, I guess, the pandemic and all that good stuff. But I believe the pandemic in 2020 was a test of the church, and I believe the church has failed miserably. And everyone's looking for 2021. Well, I will tell you, if you do not learn the lessons of 2020, then you will not do well in 2021. That is for sure. And just a quick note to everybody that has been emailing me and thanking me for all of the teachings and the articles and stuff. I can say you're very, very welcome. I've been looking at the numbers, and there's been a lot of people around the world that have been reading a lot of our stuff, our newsletter. And of course, that happens when you're being persecuted. You always seem to go toward the Lord. So that's maybe what America has to look forward to. But anyway, so you are very, very welcome. If you send me an email with a question, I'm going to try to get to it as soon as I can. Amen. Let's go ahead and get into our Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 85, which will be an enlargement, which is a really interesting word in God. But before we go ahead and get into Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 85, let's go ahead and look at a few points that we looked at last. The last time we looked at a dwelling place, and there was a lot of great information, just a lot of great spiritual truths that we covered there, and as well as tonight. So again, we looked at a dwelling place where God provides is our dwelling place. Let me say that again. Where God provides is our dwelling place, even if it's in the wilderness. And of course, we're in a wilderness truth for modern times, and we're in the wilderness of Bathsheba. And there's a lot of spiritual things happen in the book of Genesis in Bathsheba. But anyways, where God provides is your dwelling place, and that's a very, very important point. Another point we looked at is there is a great risk when we take the initiative to take our own direction. There is a great risk when we, anytime God gives you the opportunity to make a decision, you better not make that decision quickly. You better really think about what you're doing. It's the same thing. Anytime that we decide to go ahead and move or do whatever we want to without outside the direction of God, we can get in very, very serious trouble. I've seen that time and time again. Another point we looked at, and there were like 9 points. This is the third point. If you leave from God's place of provision, even though it does not look appetizing, with Hagar and Ishmael, they were in the wilderness and it didn't look, there was no water, they didn't have any food, it didn't really look appetizing, but as time went on and God's revelation came and these things happened, that they found out it was a pretty good place. But if you leave from God's place of provision, even though it does not look appetizing, most often you will end up in a far worse predicament. And that is true. The next point is the experience of the need, the meager supply, the water and the bread that they got when they left, the revelation the angel showed Hagar as well, the provision. And that all of that stuff comes out of the adjustment that they make in that situation. Because if we do not make adjustments in God, what He's doing in our life, then we're not going to be successful. Let me say that again. If we do not make those adjustments that God wants us to make in our life, then we will not be very successful. The next point is, without adjustments, there will be no further discoveries in God. Is when we make those adjustments to God, then God is able to open up the next thing that He wants and the next thing and so forth and so on. So we must make those adjustments to what God is doing in our lives. Next point is, rather than changing our situations, we change. So many Christians want to change this or change this, or they want to move here or they want to move there or they want to do all of that. They're not happy where they are, so instead of changing their self, they go ahead and they want to change the situation. Well, that's not the way God would operate. God would rather change our thinking and our heart condition so that we can adjust to the place and the situation that we are in. And the next point is God knows what we need. And this is a very, very critical point because most Christians do not believe this. God knows what we need. And we need to believe that He knows all things. Most Christians do not believe that God knows all things. And most Christians, they don't believe that God knows what we need. Well, I mean, Matthew tells us He feeds the birds and the lilies and the flowers, and God takes care of all of that stuff, and we are greater than all of the birds and the flowers, and we need to come to that place to know that God knows all things, and He knows what we need. Because if not, then we are not moving in faith. The eighth point is we must wait on Him to feed us so that we will be ready to move when told. Amen? We must wait on Him to feed us those spiritual things, even physical things, so when He says it's time to move, then we'll be able to move when it's time to move. We see that with Hagar and Ishmael. They waited, the well was dug, and that place became a great dwelling place for them. But when it was time for them to move, they went on. And the last point is we must never press forward with our desires to alter our circumstances, believing that we can meet our needs. We cannot meet our needs. We are not the captain of our own ship. We must never, ever press on with our desires to do what we want to do, to change our circumstance or better our circumstance, even if we think that's going to help God out. We must come to find joy in what God is doing in our life. Wow, I like that so much. I'm going to say it again. We must come to a place in God to we find joy what God is doing in our life. I know that was like a fire hose of information, but that was 9 points. Last month was really, really, really good. And so hopefully it will be the same with the Wilderness Truth for Modern Time, number 85. And today we're going to look at the enlargement. And our verse there comes from Genesis 21:19. So Abraham returned into his young men, and they rose up and went to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And of course, this is after the test that Abraham had with Isaac, when God asked Abraham to offer his only son up to him. It was a tremendous test, but this happened after that, and they went to Beersheba. Amen? The adjustment is made. The dwelling place is found after severe testing. Let me say that again. The adjustment is made. The dwelling place is found after severe testing. So after the testing with Abraham had with Isaac, then testing was over, and then they went to the dwelling place, which is in Beersheba. Abraham underwent a severe test in offering Isaac to God. After this, he returned to his young men, and they rose, and they went together to Beersheba. So this is a process that we go through in all of our life, and it's a three-step process. So the adjustment is made, the dwelling place is found after severe testing. So the severe testing always comes first, then we make that adjustment, and then the dwelling place is found. And remember, the dwelling place is a place where God provides for us. And that's a critical point right there, as I said earlier. So that the severe testing, so the process is the severe testing, the adjustment is made. I'm sorry, the severe testing, the adjustment made, and then that place is found. The enlargement always comes to those who are to be used of God. The enlargement always comes to those who are to be used of God. Abraham takes up residence in Beersheba after the test, after the trial. It is also after the provision of the ram caught in the thicket in Genesis 22:13. In the case of Ishmael, it was after the provision of the well in Genesis 21:19. So all of the provisions of God come after the testing, after the test comes the enlargement. After the test comes the rest, comes the victory. After the test comes the green pastures. So this is the pattern. After testing and trials, after the discovery of the provision, after adjustment, contentment, and satisfaction, Beersheba is found to be a good dwelling place. It is not so good at first sight that everybody, you know, has flocks there. It is crowded. But those in Beersheba find that they have a lot of elbow room. Elbow room. And that word, enlargement, that's what that actually means. It means elbow room. Amen? If we cannot go through the pattern, then God can't use us. Amen? If we can't go through the pattern, if we can't endure the testing, if we can't make the adjustments that's needed, and if we can't find that dwelling place, then I will tell you that God can't use us. We will disqualify ourselves for service. We shall, in a few weeks, we saw a few weeks ago that Isaac had trouble finding elbow room or enlargement in other places, and Genesis 26, you know, 22 and 23, that, and he moved from hence and dug another well, and there they strove not, because where he was the first place, he dug a well, and there was a lot of striving there, but now he has moved, and he called the name of it the Reboth, and that means no striving. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in this land. And he went up from there to Beersheba, Genesis 26, 22-23. Amen? Rehoboth 7337 and 7334 means to enlarge or to make broad or open places or elbow room. This is God's intention, to make us broad, open places. But first, there is a test. There is striving and there's trials that we must go through. If we do not go through the test and the struggles and the striving and so forth, then there will be not that enlargement that God wants to give us, and there will not be an open room. We must go through it. It is a proving and it is a qualifying for the enlargement. Amen? The further removed we are from the striving masses, the roomier life becomes. You know, Jesus always did well in the countryside when he was away from all the masses and stuff like that. But in the city is where the strivers are. And in the city is where Jesus always got in trouble. You know, and I'm the same way. I like the countryside. You know, I like the little fishing village. I'm not a city guy. You could have the city. Because in the city, corral all of that flesh, and that's where all the strivers are, and people are trying to, take this and take that, and it's just, I like to stay away from the masses. Isaac moved from Ur to Beersheba, which becomes his dwelling place. Beersheba, as well as Rehoboth, is a roomy place. And in fact, there's not a lot of people that live there. There's nobody there who's going to give him a rough time. No one to say, hey, that is mine. The strivers don't even know there is a well there that was dug. Maybe he dug this well in secret where the strivers could not see him at work. In John 7:10, tremendous verse here, it says, but when his brothers were gone up, then went he also up into the feast, not openly, talking about Jesus, but as it was were in secret. He was in secret. There are some things we must keep between us and God. Let me say that again. There are some things we must keep between us and God. There are some works that must be secretly done. I'm getting kind of deep here, so, you open up your spirit. Away from the eyes of the strivers, away from the hands of those who would take advantage and waste our efforts, like digging a well. Strivers are many, and they will take your peace. Strivers are many, and they will take your peace. When I was pastoring in Germany, there were some people, and they were always negative, and they were all saying this and saying that, and they had their own agenda, and they were all just strivers. And I would go ahead, and I would purposely distance myself from these people. because they will take your peace. And I will promise you, strivers, there's more strivers than there's peace givers. And strivers, they will take your peace if you let them. But God works on us most time in secret. The real work of God happens in us in secret. If, you know, when we are in a place that we are down and low, and God can work in us, and it happens in secret where nobody can help us. If you really want to get God to help you, then you need to come into a place where nobody can help you for God alone. That's where God can really show himself to be God to us. When there is no one around us to help us, then God can help us, and we will see that it is God helping us. Just him and us, all alone. Wow. That is the place where the true work of God is done in our life, when it is between us and him. And we need to learn by example of Jesus how to shut our mouth. Wow. Powerful statement right there. Be taught when and where to share. A word spoken at the wrong time does nothing, but one word spoken at the right time has changed history. When our mouth are shut, our ears and our heart is open. Say that again. When our mouth is shut, our heart and our ears are open. That is a tremendous sign of spiritual maturity, when you can say nothing about a situation, but knowing that God sees that situation. Amen? When our mouth is shut, our heart and our ears are open. Away from eyes, even things from the beginning of time, was done away from man's eyes. All done in secret, but always comes into the light. Matthew 13:35 says, that which might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which they have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. It is amazing how God can keep secrets. Well, it's also amazing how man cannot keep secrets. And us? Wow. Amen. God wants us to shut our mouth, but he wants us to speak when he says the time is right. God wants us to shut our mouth, but he wants us to speak when he says the time is right. That is a sign of spiritual maturity, when we know when to speak and when not to speak. And of course, as Christians, we need to speak when the Lord tells us. Amen? We cannot keep secrets, though. Wow. We cannot keep our secrets. We just need to learn how to shut our mouth about that. But we have a hard time because, you know, there's a saying in Europe that the Europeans would always say, how can you, you know, tell the American in the crowd? And the answer was, his mouth is moving. And all the Europeans understand that, but, you know, and most Americans don't. Amen. God is really good. God's real work is done in secret, where no man can see it. The change of, or not changing of our hearts is done in secret. Let me say that again. The changing or not changing of our heart is done in secret. Nobody has seen somebody's heart change. We can see that manifest in our outward life, but we can't see that change of heart because it's done in secret. The changing of motivations, intentions, and attitudes is done in secret. Then openly it's manifested to the world to see. We can always see when a man's heart has been changed, because he will be doing things outwardly much, much different. So if a man says that I'm a Christian and, you know, I've accepted the Lord, but if they're doing the same thing that they were doing before they said they were a Christian, well, their heart wasn't changed, and they're probably not a Christian, because there's been no change in their life. Luke 8:17 says, for nothing is secret. If you went to Luke 8:17, you'd underline that. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid. Wow. That shall not be known and come abroad. Because I will tell you, God will go ahead and bring things to light in our life if you desire to walk with him, because he will expose us for who we are. God is good at two things. One is rewarding his children, and two is making us eat our words. We need to be careful when we say, I will never do this or that, or, you know, we use all of these imperative words. Well, God is very good at making us eat our word. When we say, I will never do that, you can just bet God is going, uh-huh, and then we end up eating our words. We need to take heed to our words, because, you know, into our words, because God will put us on display. Believe it or not, God will put us on display when we say that we are not going to do something. Amen? Some parting thoughts. There's a lot of growth in God. What a tremendous statement. There's a lot of enlargement in God. There's a provision in God and all of these things. There's a lot of room in God. And there's a relationship between roominess and our life with God. There's a relationship between roominess and enlargement and having elbow room and all that good stuff in our life in God. The more of relationship we have with God, the more room we will have to move in God. Let me say that again. The more of a relationship with God we have, the more room we will have to move in God. Enlargement is what Israel sought and was promised from the time of the deliverance from Egypt. And Beersheba relates to this enlargement, the inheritance of Israel. From Dan even to Beersheba, 2 Samuel 17:11 says, therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee. And this was the borders, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is of the sea for multitudes, and that thou shalt go to battle in thy own person. Wow. So what are your borders? Amen? Roominess in God comes out of limitations and restrictions. Let me say that again. Roominess in God comes out of limitations and restrictions. I went ahead and I kind of put together a little whiteboard here that kind of talks about this. And this is probably one of the greatest lessons that most Christians, they need to experience here and understand that if you really want to walk with God, you will have to walk in God's limitations and restrictions before you can come into that life and that enlargement. So on this side, we have limitations and restrictions, limited to what God said, restricted to the words of God that's found in the Bible, doing only those things that God wants you to do. So we can see here, the adjustment is made right here. We have that relationship with the Lord, and you can see it starts in a very narrow way of God's direction. And it starts right here at this fine point. This is where you and God, you are together, and you are restricted. And you can see as you walk in His way and you walk in His limitations and restriction, then it gets broader, 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 and you have more room, it's more roomier, and then you have that enlargement that will lead to life. But on the other side here is the opposite of that, where you go ahead and you start in a broad way. You start in a broad way of your self-effort, doing what you want to do, not doing what God wants you to do. Free, I'm free in God, I'm going to woo-hoo, yes, we're going to go ahead and do it. But that's not the way that God operates. God operates in restrictions, doing what you have to do with God's way. So most Christians want to go ahead and be free and, you know, run and jump and do whatever they want to do. And they start in this broad way. But what happens is the longer they go, it gets more restricted and restricted, and it will bring them ultimately to destruction and death and loss, believe it or not. So we start either in a broad way or we start in a restricted way. And if we start in a restricted way, the longer we go with God, the more He'll be able to use us and He'll trust us because we're learning those lessons. But if not, then we're starting in a broad way. And we're going to end in a very narrow, tight way. As the Bible says, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, but broad is the way that leadeth to destruction and death. So roominess in God comes out of limitations. Amen? Amen. This was the extent of the promised land as far as Israel possessed, and that was from Dan even to Beersheba. And that was what was promised to Israel in Abraham's covenant, and as it was confirmed all the way. Amen? And God, through Jesus Christ, is where our inheritance is found. Through our relationship and our communion, what we have made with God, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob of the Old Testament, then we can inherit the promised land from earth to heaven. Instead of from Dan to Beersheba, we can inherit it with that relationship and our communion with God, and we can relate from earth unto heaven. Mm-hmm. I would rather have from earth to heaven instead of from Dan to Beersheba. At any rate, we get them not because God promised them to us, but because we have done the things that God has told us to do so that we can qualify for them. Amen?
Yes.
Enlargement is what God wants to do in our life, but the enlargement as we, as we have that communion and that relationship with God, we will only come into that enlargement, into that light, as long as we walk in those restrictions and those limitations that God has for us in our life. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love. Father, Lord, just take this word, Father, Lord, to all the people that listen to it over the internet, Father, Lord. I've just been so just humbled, Father, Lord, at the increase of people that have been looking at that and all of the hits that we've had on our website, Father, Lord. It seems more people overseas are more concerned about this than people even in Sneed's Ferry, Father. And so we just love you and we thank you, Father, Lord God, that I will do my part in sharing the word. And those that have a hungry heart and those that desire God, well, they will be able to receive that. And those that don't, well, then they will be able to receive what they desire, Father. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord, for this word. Lord, take it and wrap it in our heart, Father, Lord, and just keep us, Father. And Lord, we just love you and thank you, Father, Lord. And we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen.